All right, we're in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, and actually we're approaching in the scripture the sequence of events that lead up to the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. And of course, the truth of the scripture has been corrupted by the traditions of men. Scriptures are very clear. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The reason that people get in trouble when they try to reconcile tradition with truth is, for them, tradition's more important than truth. And it's sad, but it is. But if Christ was crucified on Friday, as the whole, so-called Christian world claims, then we would have to have a Palm Monday and not a Palm Sunday, because as we studied last week, we saw that Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before Passover. And John is the only one of the four gospel writers that uses Roman time. The others use Jewish time. And the Jewish day begins and ends at sunset. And that fact is what messes everybody up, because they just count it according to the way that we reckon time now by Roman time. So let's begin reading. Let's see here. I looked at the rich young ruler last time. Let's begin at verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things, my voice went up the way, climbed an octave or so there, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now, if all things are going to be accomplished, then they can't be accomplished according to tradition, because tradition just doesn't work. And there's only one place where we find the word Easter in the scriptures. And it's in this translation of the Greek word Pascha, which is Passover. So in the 12th chapter of Acts, Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. And the translators, because of the tradition of the Roman Church, and of course then the translators were all Anglicans, and King Henry VIII basically told the Pope to go to hell, so to speak, because he wouldn't let him marry Anne Boleyn. And so basically he said, well, the Pope shouldn't be the head of the church. The king should be the head of the church. So he started the Anglican church. I remember when we first came to Eugene, going out knocking on doors, trying to bring a nucleus together, to start a church. And I remember this one guy used to live over on River Avenue, and he was just a dyed-in-the-wool Episcopalian, which in England is Anglican. And he was so proud of his history. And apparently he didn't know it very well, because there's not a great deal to be proud of in the history of Henry VIII. Well, all of that aside, he was so proud to be a member of the Anglican or the Episcopalian Church. So let's continue on here now. And Jesus was telling them, okay, these are the things that are going to happen within the next few days. Now, to get the point of time, John gives us the point of time in his gospel in the 12th chapter. We looked at this last time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, with the proofs, but it just basically tells us Jesus was in the area of Ephraim because the Jews were, they wanted to kill him. And because they wanted to kill him, then he basically went into the mountainous area of Ephrata and was there. And then if we begin in, let's see, verse 54 of the 11th chapter of John, it says, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So they had this coup. You know, it's kind of like the Democrats with Trump. You know, they've had this thing going on for 2 years, and they're still not happy, even though the Attorney General and the whole Mueller thing, you know, they couldn't find anything wrong. Well, I'm sure if you look close enough in any human being's life, you can find something wrong. But we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who became a man by means of the virgin birth. And the Jews were looking for any excuse to put him to death. And so John gives us the time sequence, which sets things up. But we have to remember that John uses Roman time. So it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper. Now, if you look at everything that we're going to look at in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark, of all of the things that took place, you know, first of all, Jesus came. Let's go back to the 18th chapter. Keep both spots here. We go up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass in verse 35 of the 18th chapter, that as he was come nigh or near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. So this blind man wants to be healed, and as Jesus is passing by, he wants to be healed. He cries out, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And basically, that's the prayer that each one of us utter when we come to salvation. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And then we see that he enters into Jericho and passes through Jericho. And as he comes out of Jericho, then we have Zacchaeus, he was the little guy who climbed the tree to be able to see Jesus. Now, this is all happening according to what we have here in John's Gospel. Notice it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Well, where did he come from? Well, it came from Jericho, if we read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so he came to Bethany from Jericho, and where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. And the Jews, had, you know, they wanted to kill Lazarus just as much as they wanted to kill Jesus, because Lazarus gave testimony to who Jesus is. Damn. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. You know, I think it's 300 pence, which means in the various parables, come work for me for a pence or a denarius. That was a day's wages. So the way the Jews keep time, 300 pence is a whole year's pay. So a whole year's pay was what it cost for this ointment, which Mary poured on Jesus. And notice what happened after that. She anointed him, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And John tells us a little bit about the character of Judas. And he said, concerning him, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So, you know, he was the treasurer. He had all the money. And apparently he had a habit of dipping in for his own purpose. So, you know, we should put more money in the bag, you know, so that there's more money in the bag so that I can steal more. See? And for the poor, and then Jesus, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? Now, this is very important, but we don't see the importance of it in the Gospels. We have to go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, we have the instructions concerning the Passover lamb. And remember, Passover was nigh at hand. And the Jews were wondering whether Jesus would come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Well, he had to, because every adult Jew, every adult male, was required to be in Jerusalem three times a year. They had to be there for Passover, so that put them there for the first three feasts. Then they had to be there for Pentecost, you know, and that's when the church was given the Holy Spirit. And they had to be there for the Feast Tabernacles. And these feasts are in close proximity, so if you're going to travel from anywhere in the Mediterranean world to Jerusalem for these feasts, if you travel for one feast, you're going to travel for all of them. So that put the Jews in Jerusalem for the very important events that will take place. For example, Christ was taken on the 10th day of the month. That's when the Passover lamb was to be selected. He was examined till the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel put him to death in the evening, or at the time of the evening sacrifice, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so then he was placed in the tomb. He was there for 3 nights and 3 days and arose from the dead at sunset on what would be Saturday, our time. The ending sunset of Saturday is the beginning sunset of Sunday. So as soon as the sun went down, it was the first day of the week. And that's when Christ rose from the dead. Now, you remember when the women came to the tomb, it hadn't dawned on the day portion of Sunday just yet. Because when they came to the tomb, they came while it was what? While it was yet dark. And people read these things, just pass over. They don't. It's kind of like solving a mystery. I think I've seen every Jessica Fletcher movie or TV show that was ever made. And somehow or other, she seems to grab a little bit of evidence that if you watch the story closely, it's there. But you miss it because, you know, there's no emphasis on it. and then she'll bring it up at the end when she solves the mystery. Okay. So we have to know about the Passover. And so it says, with respect to the Passover, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, the month of Abib. Now it's interesting. The Jews do not begin their year in March, April, which is the month of Abib. Okay? You know, and it's going to change because the Jews use a lunar calendar rather than a solar calendar. And so, but they count the seventh month as the first, the new year. And, you know, when or why they changed it, I have no idea. But they're specifically told that this will be the first day of the year, month of, you know, the first month of the year for you. And speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father. So every household had to have a lamb for a household. And if you couldn't afford to have a lamb by yourself, then you and your neighbor would go together. But wherever the lamb was slain and the blood sprinkled on the doorpost and lintels, they would enter into that house and roast the lamb with fire there. And that's not strange because they all had fireplaces. And that's how they cooked in those days. So you didn't have to go out to and get a tank of propane and fire up your barbecue in order to roast the lamb with fire. You know, they did it in the house. And in the house where they roasted it, that's where they had to sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and lintels. And then they had to be fully clothed. They had to have their staff in their hand. They had to be ready to depart from Egypt. See? So really, the Passover is a picture of salvation. You know, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. You know, he was taken on the 10th day of the month, examined till the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel put him to death in the evening or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And so your lamb shall be, in verse 5, without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. When? In the evening. So when did Jesus dismiss his spirit? About 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just enough time for the disciples to, you know, first of all, find out that he was dead, then appeal to the Romans so that they could have his body, so that they could bury it, to get him into the grave just before sunset or right at sunset. Okay? So that put him, you know, when we figured this all out, he came to, you know, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. He came from Bethany. He did that, you know, because that's the way it figures out, so that he was crucified on, selected on Wednesday night and crucified on Wednesday evening, you know, the night precedes the day. And then at sunset, then he puts him in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, and he rose from the dead as soon as the sunset, the first day of the week. So he was 72 hours in the grave, according to the prophecy in the 12th chapter of Matthew. He said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given it, but what? The sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was what? 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So he continues on. Your lamb shall be, in verse 5, without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So, you know, he was hanging on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he bowed his head. He dismissed his spirit. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Okay, so they're not to eat it raw or sodden in all with water. We're not going to have a stew. We're going to have, they're going to broil it over an open flame. Okay? But roast with fire his head and his legs and with the pertness thereof. That means they didn't dress the lamb. It had all of its internal organs in it. They roasted it whole. Okay? And so then God says in verse 12, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. So the firstborn represents the unsaved of this world. And you had to make a sacrifice of the Passover lamb so that the firstborn in Israel would not be put to death along with the firstborn in Egypt. Okay. So the firstborn represents us with our natural birth. I don't care whether you're first, second, third, fifth, 15th, 20th. You know, some families are very big. But all of us are counted to be firstborn, or we have a natural birth. And we have a natural birth because of Adam. And because of Adam, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. So then we have to have the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, Christ, to make an atonement or a covering for our sin. And he did. And I want to take you down to, let's read 12 through 16. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will do what? I will pass over you. So all the death angel looked for was the blood applied to the doorposts and little. Didn't look inside to see if they were playing poker, or see what if they were dancing, or all the things that they used to preach against. You know, all he looked for was the blood. And that's all that God looks for in us. The blood applied. The moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the blood was applied to your doorpost and little, so to speak, and that's what God looks for. He's not looking at our behavior. He's looking at the blood applied. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. See? Now, Jesus was righteous because he's God. And he wasn't born with a sin nature because he was virgin born. And so God was his father. And so his blood was incorruptible blood. And he then gave his life as a ransom for sin. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I think I mentioned last week that ordinarily it takes from 24 to 36 hours for an individual to die by crucifixion. You die of exposure, you know, finally just exhaustion, you know. And yet Jesus died in 6 hours. Why? Because he had given the promise, no man takes my life from me. So what does that say? Everybody wants to blame the Jews for crucifying Jesus. Well, it was the Romans that crucified him, but at the instigation of the Jews. But it was our sins that put him on the cross. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. So Christ died for our sins, and when the Spirit of God quickened the Word of God to your heart and mind so that you could believe that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, the blood was applied. So all that God is ever going to look for in you is the blood applied, same as He did with the Jews. God is not a respecter of persons. See? And so He said in verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for what period of time? Forever." And of course, the Jews are finally going to recognize that Jesus is their Passover lamb when they look on Him whom they pierced. And we read about that over in the book of Zechariah. So He says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. Now the lamb, the first day of Passover actually is the 15th day of the month, but the lamb is killed on the 14th day of the month. It's selected on the 10th, kept until the 14th, and put to death in the evening. Okay? And Christ fulfilled that perfectly. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. What's that mean? A Sabbath. Now, it doesn't take a mathematician. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. If Passover was always on the 15th and the lamb was always sacrificed on the 14th, then whether you use a lunar calendar or a solar calendar, what is going to happen? It's going to rotate. It's going to be on a different day of the week from one year to the next. Okay? So, this business of, you know, a Friday crucifixion, it's just they didn't study to show themselves approved unto God. Number one, you know, there aren't 3 days and three nights between Friday at sunset and Sunday before dawn. Okay? But Jesus in the 12th chapter of Matthew said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. And there are different ones. They can squeak in by making any part of a day a day. But even there they have to lie because Jesus was gone from the tomb when the women came. When? While it was yet dark. So it hadn't yet dawned on the first day of the week. So there's no way that you can get the fulfillment of the sign of the prophet Jonah with a traditional observance of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then if you have to go back to Ash Wednesday so that you can put a cross on your head so that you can, repent and fast for 40 days until we come to Palm Sunday. Okay? Yeah. I think that's the way the Catholics do it, but it's nonsense. Now let's go back to the 18th chapter of Luke. Now it says here, we looked, I want to read a little bit in John first, and then we'll go on. So they came 6 days before the Passover. The Passover is always on the 15th, so 6 days before. They arrived on the 9th day of the month, okay? But at sunset on the 9th day of the month would be what? The 10th night of the month by the Jewish calendar, okay? And so then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany in John chapter 12, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. And so after He got there, sunset took place, and now it's the night. Even though John uses Roman time, the Jews use Jewish time, and at sunset it would be the night of the 10th, and that's very important. because there they made him his supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then notice what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Now, the Jews had to eat the lamb, right? And against the day of my burying has she kept this. He had to be put to death on the 14th day of the month, placed in the tomb at the beginning of the 15th day or 15th night of the month, be there, you know, 3 nights and 3 days, and rise on the first day of the week, or as soon as the sun went down on Saturday, it was Jewish Sunday. Okay? So we have the sign of the prophet Jonah fulfilled, 72 hours in the grave. And so then Jesus said, now when, according to the 12th chapter of Exodus, when was the lamb to be selected? On the 10th of the month. Okay? So they came 6 days before Passover, but then at sunset is going to be not the 9th, but the 10th, the night of the 10th. And against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Yeah, we got to get rid of this evidence. It declares he's got power that we haven't got. And their position in Israel was more important to them than the truth. And we see this with these great big churches today. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, and because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So now John's using Roman time. So he came on the 6th day of the month, and on the next day, which would be the 10th day of the month, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. So he came, you know, John tells us he came to Bethany, but he came first to Jericho. And now let's go back to Luke. And in the 18th chapter, we'll see that he came to Jericho. And, let's see. Verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, he healed the blind man coming into Jericho. Then after that, he came out of Jericho and he healed two blind men leaving Jericho. But Luke doesn't tell us about that. He just tells us about Zacchaeus. He was a little guy, short of stature. And he wanted to see Jesus as he went by. So he climbed a sycamore tree. Now, when we think of a sycamore tree, it's slick and very difficult. This was more than likely a carob tree, kind of like an oak tree, easy to climb, okay? And he was able to climb up high enough to see Jesus as he went by. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Yeah, he was a tax collector. See, the Romans let the Jewish tax collectors keep as much You know, they only required so much, and if they could collect more than that, they got to keep it. See? So, a little extortion. And he sought to see Jesus. You mean an extorted tax collector can be saved? See? And Zacchaeus is just a picture of us. He's a sinner, saved by grace. But he wanted to see Jesus as he went by. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore, more than likely a carob tree, to see for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So we know it's about noon. You know, time for him to have his noon meal. And so, and when they saw it, they all murmured, going to eat with a tax collector, that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is what? A sinner. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and live not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sinned when Adam sinned. And that's the only sin we had to commit. And we didn't commit it. Adam committed it in our behalf. But we've done plenty on our own. Okay. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I've been extorting money from people. So half of what I have, I'll give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, which is what the tax collectors did, I restore him fourfold. I'll give him four times as much back. And Jesus said unto him, This day of salvation comes to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save what? The Lord didn't come to save a religious people. He didn't come to put his stamp of approval upon Jews who not one of them kept the law, because the scripture says, Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they were kind of in the position at the first advent of Christ, as we are close to the second advent of Christ. We look at things, and as I look at prophecy, if we're the Babylon of the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, Donald Trump had to be elected. And the powers that be are what? They're ordained of God. And so we have more people employed now, and more people off of unemployment, more people off of welfare. And in the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, there's a judgment of Babylon. And the Jews, most of them remained in Babylon. And in their book, I've forgotten man wrote it just now. It's about the Jews. And anyway, I first found this book back in the 60s, and I had already determined that America would be Babylon, the economic Babylon in the 18th chapter of the Revelation. Then I found this book. I should have brought a copy of it in here. Dement was the man's name. And it's about the Jews. And most of the Jews remained in Babylon, and that's where the Jews became money men. Prior to that, the Jews were an agrarian people. They raised sheep, they raised flocks, they raised crops. But their 70 years of captivity in Babylon, they became money men, and most of the Jews remained in Babylon. So it says, And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Well, they were right about the first advent, but they didn't understand the difference between the first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ. And we look at things, and if America is Babylon, then America has to be doing business for the whole world in order for the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation to be fulfilled. And under Obama, we doubled the national debt, and, you know, we're going downhill. If Trump isn't reelected in 2020, the coming of our Lord is much closer than we think it might be. I'm pretty certain that he will be reelected, you know. So America has to be buying the world's goods according to the 18th chapter of the Revelation in order for the prophetic events recorded there to take place, which are to take place, in the latter days before the Lord comes and establishes his kingdom upon this earth. And that reminds me of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She says the world's going to be destroyed in 12 years if we don't do all of this socialist stuff. You know, well, if we do it, that in itself will destroy it. But the fact of the matter is, if Jesus Christ were to come for his saints, and he's going to come as a thief in the night, so the trumpets shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Almost simultaneously with that, the Antichrist will descend to the earth, and the Pope, Fourth World Empire, will declare him to be the Christ. And then he will set up his kingdom upon this earth, and the Jews will be allowed to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And there won't be a war because of it. Every time they mention putting the temple on the Temple Mount, the Arabs go ballistic. But since the Antichrist is the devil incarnate, and the devil is the author of every religious system in the world except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity, which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, it's going to be an easy matter to have, you know, for the devil to get peace with all of these different factions. You know, he started all of them with what? A way which seemeth right unto a man. What is that? Man's morality. Okay? And if you say anything against morality, you're against motherhood. But we can't, you know, a good life is better than a base life. But you can't get into heaven by the life that you live. You get to heaven by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now let me bring this to a conclusion. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they were in a position at that time, they expected Christ to come, and he had come, but they didn't recognize him. Okay? And he said, but what they expected was for him to establish his kingdom and destroy the Romans. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have what? This man to reign over us. So the Jews were right. They saw that the kingdom was nigh at hand. The Christ was there. But what did they do? They rejected him. And they said, what? We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Well, he had to be crucified in his first advent, because without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. We'll come back to verse 11. Next time we'll start this parable over again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And as we look at these events from one gospel to the other, we see how perfectly Christ fulfilled his first Advent ministry of being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world in the Passover Lamb. And so Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And now we're looking for a second Advent, and we know that things are adding up, getting close for the time when he will come and catch us away. And then after 7 years, he'll return with all of his saints. And the Jews will look upon him whom they pierced and believe and be saved. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know, I'm reading.